Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Lovely job. Thank you. And it fits so well with what we're talking about today because I'm talking about intimacy, basically. You know, unless there's that intimacy between you and Spirit, nothing really is going to happen, right? And we don't use the word intimacy that much when we talk about our spiritual lives because we intellectualize our spiritual lives. You know, the nice concepts, God is a concept and all that. And that's okay, but God is so much more than just a concept. God wants to be intimately involved with us. And what could be more intimate than the giving birth to Jesus, giving birth to Christ? It's the sense of I have this Spirit of truth within me, in my very womb, in the very heart of me, and it's to be born, it's to be birthed. And that symbolism is powerful, isn't it? It's potent, because it's the idea that God deigns to come deeply into us, right? And I don't think it's just about Mary 2,000 years ago, because this is all about the symbology of this. It's the intimacy of the God connection in us being birthed, right? Coming forth into actuality, and that has to be felt and pondered, and I love that word pondered, because Mary did a lot of pondering about this, and so would you, right? So would we, if we realize that God was going to be born in us. Well, the good news is, and the scary news is, he is, right? She is. It is to be born in us. And so we've got to do a little pondering. Now, cogitating and all that goes on in our heads. Pondering, I think, goes on in our hearts. We are called to ponder, to really think, to contemplate, what is this about? How does it impact me? How's it going to change my behavior? How do I show up differently as a result? Yeah? And because, again, we have the template of Mary's life to follow, because she decided, once she pondered and understood the impact of this for her, she was faithful at the beginning, she was faithful in the middle, and she was faithful at the end. She was right there at the cross, right at the end. She took his body down off the cross. So she was there. That soul that's attuned to Spirit is there, right? Jesus said this. Once you've put your hand to the plow, what? Don't look back, right? Keep on keeping on. I was just thinking today, I've consciously been on the spiritual path now for 40 years. You know, 40 is a symbolic time, isn't it, of completion. So I'm ready. I'm ready for this to happen. But, you know, it doesn't have to be 40 years. It can be that moment where you decide, yes, this is true. I'm going to let this be the truth for me. And we all have at different levels, but every time we wake up to it, it's a new moment of opportunity. Talk about pondering and treasuring. Two statements that are made about Mary, and they come close on each other. The first one is Luke 2:19. The second one is Luke 2:51. They talk about this same idea. And it says this, because she's obviously heavily impacted by the events that are taking place. And in response to the message of the angels saying all this about Jesus is coming and all that, and it's going to be in you, Mary, she says this. She's responded. It says, Mary treasured up all these things and, guess what, pondered over them. Treasured up all these things and pondered over them. And then later on, when Jesus was lost in Jerusalem, remember, he'd gone to the temple and he was hanging out with the priests and they were scared to death. Where's our boy gone? They found him and he says, I'm about my father's business in the temple. You know, you don't be surprised. And it says then, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's stated twice, right? It's meant to have an emphasis here. We are meant to treasure these things in our hearts and ponder over them so that we understand their impact and their importance to us. Well, what sort of things are we pondering? Who, me? That's number one, isn't it? Could this be for me? That I want to ponder that one. Am I ready for this? And what's our normal response? I don't mind listening to this on Sunday morning for 30 minutes, but I don't want to change my whole life. Yeah, I believe, but, you know, leave me alone. So that's one thing we might want to question and ponder. What else are we pondering? How do we do it? Yeah, if it is for me, how do I do this? You know, I'm not sure I'm equipped and ready for this right now, you know. So who me and am I equipped? When, of course, God always says, why not you? And yes, you are equipped because you have within you everything you could possibly need. Yeah, and we'll talk about what those things are in a minute. There's also the question, why me? Why is it coming to me? You know, leave me alone. I'm fine. And, you know, when reverses come, like Malone talked about, they often come as disguised blessings, don't they? Have you noticed this? So often we want to label them as a problem, and I wish they'd go away so I could have a nice life. But the truth is that even the greatest reverses are there, if we can look at them honestly, to bring us into a greater sense of who we are. And how often, instead of responding with, here I am, I'm willing, we respond with, go away, you got it wrong, you know, I don't want to deal with it. Especially when it comes to reverses, you know, somebody sort of calls us up to a higher standard, maybe, and what do we say? They're not being very nice to me, I'm not going to take this, I'm leaving. Well, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity, isn't it? Because sometimes if we were to just sit there and listen and understand, well, what's really going on here? What is the resistance in me? What can I learn from this? Rather than running away from it, yeah? So often it's easy to run and avoid than it is to face up to it. Listen, Mary could not avoid, could she? There was no avoidance in this case. She better learn. She went from a very young child to a woman overnight because she took on that energy and power, went from immaturity to maturity. And mystically, the Christ is calling us, right? What does the Jesus say in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. Well, what door is this? Must be our hearts. I stand at the door and knock. What's the next thing? You better open, right? If you got a choice, you can not open or open. But the Christ is always there knocking at the door saying, hey, here, I'm ready to be birthed in you. Right? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to take this on? And in order to take it on, there comes that I word again. What was the word earlier? What was the word? Intimacy. Does begin with I, doesn't it? It's not Jesus, the old Hebrew way of saying Jesus with an I. Now, intimacy, that's to be that intimate quality. We have to be willing to take it on in a very visceral way, deep in our bodies, right? Because I want it to transform me body, soul, and spirit, not just as a nice idea in my head, right? And when we do that, we're called upon to behave differently in our bodies, minds, and spirit. So, If Christ is knocking at the door and we're opening the door, the way of opening the door is not a literal open the door. It's offering up something. It's saying, I am ready to embody certain qualities. That's called taking on the Christ. That's letting the Christ in. So let's throw that out right now. What qualities would you like in your heart to embody that are of the Christ that need to come out? There's more of that that I want in my life. What are those qualities going to be for you? Okay, compassion. I want more compassion for myself and then the world, right? Because it has to be, it's a two-way street. I have to have compassion for myself before I can be compassionate in my world, yeah? That's crucially important. It can't be, well, I'm a real screw-up, but I'm going to give you compassion. No, it doesn't work like that. I have to be centered in my own compassion for myself, and then I breathe it out into the world. So compassion, excellent. What else? Remaining open and not closed. And whatever comes, right? Even if it's a reverse. Because those reverses can teach us more sometimes than when everything flows well. And when we have victory over the reverse, what sweet victory it is, isn't it? Because we realize, wow, I didn't get bought and sold by that. I remained centered, I remained open, and I received the greater gift. Excellent. Okay, acceptance of yourself and others, right? Even though we don't always get it right from a human perspective, I'm creating a larger container of acceptance. Yes. All right, one more. Wisdom. All right, so what does that mean for you, wisdom? I'm opening the door to wisdom. Right, okay. So a wise discernment, a discernment of how to act in a mature, large way, magnanimous way. Yeah, excellent. Now, all these qualities will come to us to the degree that we can be intimate with the relationship we have with our indwelling presence of God, right? And I want to read a mystical poem now, which is very sensuous and fascinating. It takes a lot of its inspiration from the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, which, of course, is one of the most intimate and sensuous poems in the Bible, yeah? And this is by a man named St. John of the Cross, who wrote a number of mystical texts, one of which was Dark Night of the Soul, another one was The Ascent of Mount Carmel. Wonderful guy. He was a Catholic from the, 16th century, early 17th century, part of the Counter-Reformation, the renewal of the Catholic tradition at that time. Like I say, the poem contains a sort of, in short form, everything he's going to tell us in his book, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, which means, how do I ascend to Christ consciousness? So I'm going to read the poem, and then we'll unpack it a little bit about why its significance for us today, okay? Here we go. One dark night, fired with love's urgent longings, ah, the sheer grace, I went out unseen, my house being now all stilled. In darkness and secure, by the secret ladder, disguised, ah, the sheer grace, in darkness and concealment, my house being now all stilled. On that glad night, in secret, for no one saw me, nor did I look at anything, with no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart. This guided me more surely than the light of noon to where he waited for me, him I knew so well, in a place where no one appeared. Oh, guiding night, oh, night more lovely than the dawn, oh, night that has united the lover with his beloved, transforming the beloved in her lover. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept wholly for him alone, there he lay sleeping, and I caressing him. There in a breeze from the fanning cedars, when the breeze blew from the turret, parting his hair, he wounded my neck with his gentle hand. Suspending all my senses, I abandoned and forgot myself. Laying my face on my beloved, all things ceased. I went out from myself, leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. Leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. We all want to do that, don't we? To leave our cares amongst all the stuff. Let it be. And this poem kind of tells us how to do it. Would you believe? One dark night. Well, why is it dark when we do this work? Because it's always dark, folks. We don't know what the heck's happening in the next minute, do we? We got plans for lunch or whatever, but it may or may not happen. Hundreds of other things could happen between now and then. Everything we do is in degrees of ignorance. Talking about wisdom and guidance, it starts in ignorance, doesn't it? It starts in the dark. I'm in the dark. Are you in the dark? We're in the dark. We don't know. We trust and we have faith that everything's going to flow nicely, yeah? But absolutely, we don't know from our human perspective. So it's dark night. But I am fired with love's urgent longings. Well, like we just explained, my longing is for more wisdom, more discernment, more compassion, more... Come on, if there's more, let's throw them out. My urgent longing, more love, more gratitude, right? This is my urgent longing. Love's urgent longings. I want to embody these things. I don't want to be miserable and small-minded. I want to be large-hearted, right? I went out unseen, my house being now all stilled. It's important to get still in order to receive this, folks. Got to be still. But I went out unseen. Why didn't anybody else see me? Because the work that we do with our own spirit is done in silence and secret, right? It's between us and God. No one else is involved. In darkness and secure, by the secret ladder. Now, what's this? By the secret ladder. Climbing up the secret ladder now. Any ideas? It comes in steps, okay? There's a way to do this, yes? If you read the Old Testament, what did Jacob see? He saw a ladder, didn't he, with angels ascending and descending. I like to think of it as the chakras or the kundalini within our own being, right? There's different qualities at each level. We are called to rise up from the lower level of survival and just base sexuality up to love and to possibility, because the Christ is up here at the thousand-petaled lotus. All parts are valuable, but they all need to be activated, don't they? That's the secret ladder, folks. The ladder's within us, yeah? It's the chakras, it's the 12 powers, it's the qualities that we're given by God to harness and express. This is important, that they're not just thought about, they're expressed. And I'll come to that in a minute because it's a powerful statement that he makes. So by the secret ladder, in darkness and concealment, my house being now all stilled. Again, this is the work I do with my own spirit. On that glad night in secret, for no one saw me, nor did I look at anything, with no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart. Do you remember when you first fell in love with someone, you had that great relationship? You were dancing, there were hundreds of people in the room, and yet to you there was only one person, right? The person you were dancing with that night. You're at a tete-a-tete lovely dinner, you're in a crowded restaurant, and yet you only have eyes for that person, yes? It's that intimacy, isn't it? It's that focus, right? That's what he's talking about. There was nothing else, no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart with that sacred connectedness to spirit. We've all felt it, so we know what it's about, getting into that intimate quality with God. This guided me more than the light of noon, for to where he waited for me. Him I knew so well in a place where no one appeared. Oh, guiding night, a night more lovely than the dawn, because it's my secret place where I am in communion with the truth of my being. Oh, night that has united the lover with his beloved, transforming the beloved in her lover. When we're in this embrace, we kind of change places. We can't say that Paul's there anymore or the Christ is there. There is simply that interplay, yeah, where we recognize who we are. I behold the Christ in myself, and so I can behold the Christ in you, right? It is no longer just me, my humanness. I am imbued with an amazing power, a possibility. And here's a hugely important line. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept holy for him alone. Very sensual imagery, isn't it? But it's got a spiritual significance. Why a flowering breast? Upon my flowering breast, I'm open. Talk about staying open. When you stay open, you begin to blossom. Have you noticed this? You begin to have an energy and a power that you didn't have before. Yeah? You begin to be attractive. You're like flowers to the bees. Yes? You began to flower. That's what it's about. Are you flowering or are you withering this today? We don't want to be withered little dried sticks, do we? No, we don't. We want to be flowering breasts of possibility. Yes! Are you hearing me here? Yeah. Because it's a beautiful image. It's the image of, here I am expanding. And you know, every moment, it seems to me, I have the opportunity to shrivel back into a miserable ego state or to arise into spiritual possibility, to hear the knock and say, come on in, right? And it happens in any relationship, in any situation, because the Christ is in these things. The Christ can be in your partner. The Christ can be in a friend. The Christ can be in a stranger on the street. It's how am I responding? Am I a flowering breast of possibility here, or am I shriveled up, right? Because when I'm welcoming, then miracles happen in my life. It's a no-brainer. It always works. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept holy for him alone, I'm seeing the Christ in this. I'm beholding this is a spiritual deal here, right? Not something else going on. There he lay sleeping, and I caressing him. Talk about the intimacy there of that. There, in a breeze from the fanning cedars, when the breeze blew from the turret, parting his hair. Okay, the breeze is blowing down. What is this breeze? Well, it's that, you know, have you ever been out on a sultry day and then all of a sudden the breeze blows? Ah, you feel so refreshed. Isn't that the breeze of spirit? It's the wind of spirit blowing that totally refreshes us. And it comes from the turret. It comes from the high tower. It comes from the top of the chakras as a blessing down upon us. Yes? It comes from God on high in us. Parting his hair. Now we get to the sort of the climax of the poem. He wounded my neck with his gentle hand, suspending all my senses. Whoa. What can we say, you know? It's a very delicate image, but it's a very intimate image, isn't it? That gentle caress of his touch on my neck, wounding my neck with his gentle hand. It's something that we're going to miss if we're not paying attention. It's that subtlety that happens in our lives when we're paying full attention to the nuances of what's happening in relationships, nuances that are happening in our lives, and we allow that connectedness to happen. I'm making connection between things that don't always seem to be connected. Anybody read Hermann Hesse's The Glass Bead Game? It's his last novel. He wrote the one that wrote Siddhartha, if you remember that book, and he wrote Steppenwolf. He was cool in the 60s. Everybody thought he was a neo-hippie or whatever. And so read his books, or a retro hippie, I guess, because he was writing his books back in the 20s and 30s. But the glass bead game is about this game. It's a philosophical game of connecting seemingly unconnected pieces together. So you connect music, poetry, machine shops. Everything is all connected. It's a bit like the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. You see the quality and the beauty in all things. And that's when that moment of connectedness happens for us, yes? When we, oh yeah, everything's significant. Everything that happens to me has a meaning and it's beautiful. Even the reverses. He wounded my neck with his gentle hand, suspending all my senses. Not about what I see in the outer anymore. It's what I feel and know to be true in the inner. Right? And my senses are suspended. I have an inner knowing, an inner sense of truth now. Not so distracted by the outer. And then the final lines. I abandoned, forgot myself. I let myself go, finally. Laying my face on my beloved, all things ceased. I went out from myself, leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. I went out from being so self-obsessed, yeah? And I relaxed into the truth of who I really am, which is a being of infinite possibility and love. Man, we've done some pondering today. We pondered this poem of extreme intimacy and sensual pleasure and joy. But it's not about just human things. It's about our link to the divine essence of who we are, right? So let's practice a little intimacy this week, shall we? Let's go away. Ooh, let's go away and be intimate. Create that flowering breast, okay? And see what happens from there. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love, flowing through us, blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.